Welcome to Entrepreneurhood, where we break entrepreneurship down into three simple pillars: business, lifestyle, and motivation. Our goal is to use our personal experiences as industry leaders to guide and inspire young entrepreneurs to see the lesson in every challenge. Because we understand that companies don't succeed, people do. Now, welcome the leaders of Entrepreneurhood, Lay Kim and KB.
Welcome to the neighborhood. It's your boy, Lay Kim, and obviously, I got my brother, KB, in the building with me. This episode is going to be special because we're making history on Entrepreneurhood, and we're bringing in our first person that we're interviewing. In order to be a person that's worth being on our show, you have to have experience in your field. We found someone that we think definitely meet all the criteria.
Yeah, bro. I think we set the bar kind of high with this one.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about the guest that we got, KB.
We have the owner of the most reliable barbershop in NYC, the Fay Gang. He was honored award by a New York State Senator for Impacting Community in 2019. But he's definitely more than a barber, though. He's also known as the notorious stock investor, Robin Hood Killer, who calls out plays every day to help newbie and experienced investors make $1,000 on different trades. Family, let's welcome Alvin Parker to the neighborhood.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Like him, Caleb, such a great introduction, man. It's great to be on your show. I love what you guys are doing.
Yo, you deserve it, bro. You deserve it. Let's get into it, man. Like, tell the people where you're from.
I'm from Jamaica, Queens, man. Born and raised here in New York. My barbershop is also located in Jamaica, Queens. The Fade Game.
Fade Queens is in the building.
Yeah. And that's what I love, man, you know, because coming up from Queens, man, not a lot of people doing the right things in our neighborhood. So I love that. When I was doing some research on you, it said that you've had the Fade Game since 2016, right?
Correct. We're about to go on our fourth year, man. It's been an amazing ride.
Man, that's big because I'm coming up on year five of having my sales and marketing firm. And being an entrepreneur, the first year is the toughest. And when you make it to year four and year five, then you really know you're starting to get closer to like some long-term success. So good stuff, man. That's definitely something to celebrate.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Give the people an idea about the Fade Game because it's not your typical regular barbershop. So what kind of experience do your customers feel when they come to your shop?
The Fade Game Barbershop, we intend to shock our customers with the level of commitment, the level of professionalism, the level of technical skills that you'll see coming in this barbershop. We kind of shocked the Jamaica Queens area because the standards have been so set so low for a certain amount of years for the people that's catered to in this area.
And your shop is literally in the heart of Jamaica, like right there on Godbrook Boulevard.
Yes, it's in Southside Jamaica Queens. And I got some pushback from it when I worked with my barbers from Mr. Rooney's barbershop. That's where I worked at before. That was one of the most popular barbershops in Queens. And when they found out where I was opening that, they were a little skeptical about it because it was right between 40 projects and Baisley projects. But, you know, I knew I was going to bring value here, and I knew the people around the neighborhood would really, really appreciate it.
I think that's pretty dope, bro, because it's like those areas are forgotten about until, you know, gentrification comes through. We can help gentrify our own neighborhoods in the right way and have control of what's being led there, you know, for our people. And I definitely commend you on that because a lot of people, they want to do stuff, but they want to leave, you know, go out the hood. Well, you could actually do something right in the hood and make it great.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
And I like that. So I got a question because what made you want to go from working in a barbershop to starting your own?
So when I was coming up, I used to go to this barber called Jay's Barbershop. He was a correction officer, but he owned a barbershop a couple blocks away from me. It was on 179 and Sears Avenue, also located in Jamaica, Queens. At the time, since I was raised by my single Black grandmother, he had the most influence in my life when it comes to men. I saw him on a weekly or bi-weekly basis, and I spent about 30, 45 minutes with him with gems that he was trying to break down to me about becoming a man or life lessons. I loved the impact that he had on me and my friends. And from there, I was like, barbering interested me. I didn't know I was going to be a barber, but it interested me on the impact that he had in the neighborhood. And he was actually the first business I saw open with my own eyes in my neighborhood.
Okay. And how old were you when that all happened?
I was 12 years old. I was in eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I was 12 years old.
So this is early in the game. Okay, and then when you started the barbershop, how old were you when you started the barbershop?
When I started the barbershop, I was 30. Yeah, that was my 30th birthday gift right there. I was 30 years old.
That's definitely a crazy timeline. I wanted to ask you too, like, being that everyone nowadays always focuses on what's new, what's cool, what's trendy, what made you want to start a new barbershop but with a classical vibe?
The barbering craft has taken a hit so much that when I graduated college, my family, they had a lot of, I got a lot of pushback about becoming a barber because of the way they looked at it. One of the things I've heard from people was barbers only have nice cars and that's it. They have nothing going for themselves. They'll never retire and they die broke. I saw a different vision. I knew first I wasn't just going to be a barber, but that's not true. You're not just because you're just a barber doesn't mean you're going to be broke. That has to do with your life decisions and whatever you make. And we're going to get into that when it comes to investing and different things like that. I knew I was going to be a barbershop owner. I wasn't just doing it for the money or make people look good and have an impact on their lives for their graduation or their engagement party or their wedding. Because, you know, barbers are with you at every single important moment in your life, especially men, black men. You want to look sharp at all times. When I was looking for my barbershop, I knew that I wanted to open it up where I grew up at to help the kids understand that they can open up a business. And yeah, I look just like you. I act just like you. I speak just like you. You can actually do this. This is not like a dream that you can't reach.
That's dope that you took the whole idea of saying you don't want to just be a barber. You want to be more than that. And that led you to actually get an award by the center. How can you like really touch on that and give us information on how did that go about? How did you feel when that happened?
I received the award due to the National Council of Negro Women, and they started recognizing things I was doing for the neighborhood. For example, I was giving people internships or job placements on Wall Street through the executives that I cut. I was actually introducing the clients to them, and then from there, a relationship would be formed and an opportunity was given. Also, the AAU basketball team that I played for, New York City Finest, who was coached by Rob Diaz, who's an NYPD officer, he receives a donation from the Fade Game every year to fund about 4 tournaments for his kids that are 17 and under.
Wow.
I don't know if you want me to name everything, but we do a lot for the community.
That's dope, bro.
I think that's major because to kind of go back to what you said, number one, my barber is like my best friend because you rise and you fall by having a good barber. So I love this industry. So what were you doing before you became a barber? Like, have you always been an entrepreneur or what made you take the leap into entrepreneurship?
My grandmother was the reason I definitely took the leap into entrepreneurship. I met a kid when I was in high school. I was in 9th grade. I remember him from my first day of school. I think he was in 10th grade. And the first day of school, everyone's trying to obviously come in there with their fresh outfits. You're in high school now, so everybody's trying to talk to the girls their first day, trying to figure out what's going on. And this kid was handing out business cards his first day of school. And he sold sneakers. And I saw that. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. We end up becoming friends. And I asked him for a job. He was like, yo, you know what? I can't give you a job. But if you give me $500, I'll give you $1,000 next week.
Oh.
So I went to my grandmother, because I didn't have a job at the time in 9th grade. I went to my grandmother. I was like, listen, I got to give one of my friends $500. And he's going to give me $1,000 next week.
Sounds sketchy, bro.
She said, you think you're going to give a guy that you met in high school $500, he's going to give you $1,000? I said, yes, sure. Yo, go sit down, stupid. So I guess my grandmother was a thinker, though. She always used to try to give me life lessons all different type of ways. So she called me back maybe 5 minutes after. She was like, you know what? I'm going to give you $500. Because to her, she was like, he's going to learn a lesson through this. And no one will ever con him again.
So,
you know, it's an expensive lesson, but I think that's where her mind was when she gave me the $500. So I gave it to him. Next week, I had $1,000.
Oh, he followed her back.
Yes. So I gave her $500, and she was like, yo, who is this kid? I said, yo, it's one of my friends. She was like, stay away from him. Don't hang around that guy. Right? And then I went back to him, and I'm like, yo, what do you do for real, man? And he was like, yo, I'm an eBay entrepreneur. I sell sneakers to the people in the school. But you see, that's not really popping off. But on eBay, I'm making a lot of money. I went to my grandmother. I was like, yo, he's an eBay entrepreneur. I'm about to give him some more money so he can flip it again. She's like, no, you don't need him to flip money. You can use eBay yourself. And you can find out things to sell. You do it yourself. And then from that day on, I became an eBay entrepreneur. And my first year, I think I made in profits in 9th grade, like $20,000. I bought my first car in 10th grade.
What?
It was really cool.
See, man, I want the listeners to understand. It seems like all of the entrepreneurs where we from, man, they started in eBay because that's how KB and I got introduced to the concept that you can make money selling things online. And it's another example of you were doing flipping before flipping was cool. And that's the same experience that KB and I did in high school as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love eBay. eBay, it changed my life. It opened doors for me. Being in class and getting that email that your item has been sold, that was the best thing ever.
Absolutely. I was running my own business. I felt really great. I learned one of my biggest life lessons while I was doing eBay. But eBay started the spark in me. And then from there on, I was a workaholic and I was an entrepreneur. And I was also a worker. Don't get me wrong. And in 10th grade, I was an eBay entrepreneur and I worked at McDonald's. And by my junior year of high school, I had 3 jobs and I was an eBay entrepreneur. I worked at Jimmy Jazz, I worked at McDonald's, and I did Summer Youth. And they all worked around my schedule because they saw I was a young kid not playing, trying to make it happen.
Well, it sounds familiar, right?
Man, I'm telling you, man, it sounds like he's an older version of me because that's legit very similar to my story. And I respect it a lot because I think we use those different situations, those different jobs to learn skill set. I'm sure you probably learned some things from Jimmy Jazz, from McDonald's and from eBay that you probably use till this day. Is that right?
Absolutely. Everything that happened throughout my life, I grabbed something from it.
That's something major that I really want the listeners to take away from that, because no matter what the job is, if there's an opportunity to work on a skill or develop something from that career or that opportunity, you could use it long term. KB and I, we say that all the time. We just take different things from every opportunity and it shaped us to who we are today. So what are your thoughts on that, KB?
I think it's important to understand that every experience, you know, whether positive or negative, all depends on how you look at it. If you're able to take the lesson from it, then you win at the end of the day, whether it's a loss or a gain.
That's big. So KB, let's jump into the next segment. So we want to talk about the business side of things because the first part was just the lifestyle. We wanted to know a little bit about Alvin of what made him get into entrepreneurship, what skill sets he learned. And now we want to talk on more of the business side. So start us off, KB.
This one's for the neighborhood. Since you're listening to podcasts, you must love audio. So how about KB and I give you a free audiobook with a 30-day trial with Audible? The best part is that if you've never had Audible, you can cancel at any time and still keep the book. Now that's free game. I recommend listening to Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. This book introduced me to entrepreneurship. Now, click on the link in our show notes to get your free book and support the show.
Well, being that you guys named the fade game, is it possible for me to get a job there if I don't know how to do fades?
Definitely not. That's the number one haircut that you need to learn how to do before you work in this barbershop. That's what you get tested on if you want a job here. Your first haircut is a skin fade.
Wow, so that's part of the interview process.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
Okay, so if you're a barber and they're pretty good at cutting, but their fade is kind of not, you know, A1. Are you willing to try to accept them to be part of the team?
Now, absolutely. I wasn't great when I first started cutting hair. As long as I see the hunger in your eyes and I see the commitment and you're ready to be molded, you can work at the fade game. You won't be able to take every haircut that walks through the door in the beginning, but you can work and learn and become better.
And in the fade game, how many people you got working for you right now?
I have 9 barbers and I have 9 chairs.
Wow. So every chair is filled.
Yes, indeed. I even gave up my chair. I did something new that most barbershops don't do. I rented out all my chairs and every barber gets a day off without feeling any type of pressure of coming to work. And I cut in their chair on their days off.
Wow. That's a big like leadership role that I've really never seen or heard before from, you know, a shop experience.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
How do you implement some of these strategies that you put in place? Like, where do you get your inspiration from?
Books, podcasts, like entrepreneurhood. I've learned that you're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. And once I've learned that lesson, I've started turning my life around where I didn't remove friends out of my life, but I pushed them to the side slightly so I could focus on where I wanted to be and where I wanted to go. And from there, it's hard sometimes in your neighborhood to find individuals to look up to or find individuals that have something that you want.
I could definitely relate to that. One of the things that you just said is so important is finding people to represent your brand, because in my sales and marketing company, I have a tough time hiring people that like meet my standards of what I'm looking for. So I think that's so important for entrepreneurs to understand. That's one of the toughest things is scaling. Would you agree, Al?
Absolutely. I agree. Totally.
So outside of being a barber, is there anything else you do, or is that the only lane you're in right now to like generate revenue?
No, actually, while I was cutting hair about 5 years ago, I got interested in the stock market. It was maybe a little bit before that. I had a Chase IRA account, and I wasn't really checking out stocks, but I was putting money into my IRA account, and then Chase would send you an annual letter on how much return that they made for you, which was 0.00 nothing. And I got fed up looking at that, and I started wanting to learn about stocks and how they work, because I knew certain stocks went up. I said, how is it that I'm getting 0.00 return? And I started getting into the stock market, man. It's been a blessing. One of the best financial tools to help build wealth that I can think of, besides real estate.
And you're not only into the stock market. You're the Robin Hood killer.
Yes, sir. Robin Hood killer 100 on Instagram. I run a chat room.
One thing I love about the way you post and the way, you know, you run your chat is that you're really influencing people and you're really motivating them, giving them the understanding of how to start off. But you're giving them different plays genuinely. Why not just day trade on your own instead of just helping everybody else?
Bro, my story has to do with just helping people constantly. I'm the nice guy that didn't finish last. You know what I'm saying? It's just... All I want to do is help people, man. And that's why I opened up the barbershop right here. When I graduated college with my bachelor's degree, I could have left Jamaica, Queens. I had family in California and Texas that asked me to move down there and figure it out. And I decided not to do that. I want to help my neighborhood. I want to help my people. And I want us to win.
That's huge in being an entrepreneur, because I say it all the time. You got to give more than you take. And when you have that kind of mindset, everything you give, you're going to get it back without any limitations. So I definitely love that concept. With stocks, who introduced you to that?
Actually, one of my clients that I've met in my shop, he's a mentor to me and a friend. He told me about money that he made on Facebook, which was over $1 million he made in Facebook.
What?
Yes. He caught it early when Facebook was about $20. And Facebook now today is like $200 and something. Yeah, it was a great game changer for him. And he started investing heavier. So due to that and him showing me, not just telling me, he actually showed me his returns. It really sparked my interest on, okay, now I'm ready to put my 10,000 hours in, which I'm sure you told your audience about the 10,000 hours to master your craft. But I was ready to put my 10,000 hours in once I saw that, and I never stopped.
Well, could you elaborate more on that? So KB and I touched on it, but I think there's always value in hearing it from a different entrepreneur. So what do you mean put your 10,000 hours in?
Well, John C. Maxwell, who studied the top leaders in the world, he said that it takes about 10,000 hours to master a craft, which is usually about 5 years to master a craft. A lot of people, especially Black people, you know, us, we like to try something for about a week and it doesn't go our way. We're like, oh, it wasn't made for me, or now I can't do it. I'm not good at it. That's not enough time to figure out if you're good at something. You need to at least give 10,000 hours to see your true potential in whatever you're trying to do.
Quitting is easy.
Yes, indeed. That's super easy. I wanted to add something right now. You know, for all the business people, everyone that's listening to your show, you know, they're trying to be like later businessman. They're trying to be like KB the trainer. And you have to understand, right now is the easiest time in history to become an entrepreneur. It's an easy time to raise money, hence Kickstarter. It's easier to keep customers in close contact due to social media. And it's free. If you can't win right now and make your dreams come true, it's time to look in the mirror and challenge yourself to become better. It's time to read, research, and do. Make it happen. Stop talking and show up. And like you guys are doing, create. But it's time to win, man.
Yeah, I couldn't say it better. I think we could end it right there on that note.
Have you ever found $40 in your favorite jeans? It probably got you hype, right? Yeah, I know the feeling. That's exactly what happens when I check my Digicount every month. In 2019, I was able to pay down $10,000 in debt without even thinking about it, thanks to Digit App. It's an online automated savings account where it helps you pay for your next vacation, credit card, or even just for a rainy day. And on top of that, they give you 1% of bonuses every 3 months just for saving your own money. If you need help with saving or budgeting, please click the link in our show notes for details. You get paid $5 today just for signing up with Entrepreneurhood.
Right now, you know, we're going through the pandemic and a lot of businesses are not going to make it through this, unfortunately. And it's really going to show the true entrepreneurs. Recently, the past 2 years, everyone wants to be an entrepreneur. It's real sexy. It's the new sexy job to have. But right now, people have to figure things out. We're going through tough times. And the true entrepreneurs will learn from this and get better and do better. The ones that were just claiming a name on their bio, entrepreneur, they're going to quit and run away, man.
And they're going to get exposed because one of the big things, man, I love talking to entrepreneurs and I want our listeners to like really grasp everything that we're saying, because every entrepreneur that's had some type of success, they understand that there's a lot of people that portray that they're an entrepreneur until it's time to rebound from a loss. So I love that, man. I love it because most people, they don't rebound from a loss as an entrepreneur because, like you say, they get into it because it's the new sexy trend. But once that first loss happens, they give up and they quit easy, like what KB and I talked about for episode 9.
Yes, indeed. That's not the way to do it. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. If you're not failing at whatever you're trying to do, especially when you're an entrepreneur, you're not doing it big enough. If you have big dreams, big goals, there's going to be failures along the way, but it's going to propel you because what you're going to learn from it and the strength that's going to be built within is like undeniable.
Well, those are my exact sentiments all the time. Like, failure is a part of success. I got a stock question for you.
Yeah, let's get to the stocks. I love stocks. Like, I love coming here, but stocks is my second love. That's my baby. I told my wife I got a new wife.
But I hope she hears everything when you say that.
Oh, yeah. She's okay with that. Women like money and security, man. Yeah. She's okay with it.
I got a question that I'm pretty sure you get all the time from everybody. They always ask, what should I invest in? How should I go about it? You know, where do I start? So can you just give like a simple guideline what newbies should do?
If you're new to the stock market and you're listening to this now, do your own research. First off, with anyone giving you financial advice. But from my experience, your first $10,000 that you invest into the stock market, and I don't want to say that number is a far range, like I don't have $10,000. I'm talking about you putting $100 every week into the stock market, or $50, or $100 a month, whatever you can afford. But you need to put something. You should be paying yourself first. If you're doing that, you should not be looking at any individual tickers until you have $10,000 worth of ETFs. And that ETF should be the SPY, S&P 500 ETFs.
Okay.
That's the first step of investing.
And why do you suggest the SPY before anything?
Because for you to learn the stock market, you would have to be in there for about a year or two, unless you're around a group of individuals that are constantly talking about stocks and that's constantly leading you, or you're in a chat room like mine's. You can learn at a faster rate, but it takes so much time to really know if you're investing in a good company and are you timing it right. You would need to study the market for about 2 to 5 years before you can really figure that out. Now, you might get some lucky wins, but with the SPY, it's a guaranteed 8% return every year. It's been performing at 8% for the last 70 years. Warren Buffett said he wouldn't bet his life that he can make more than the S&P 500, the SPY. And Warren Buffett is the best investor in the world. So the SPY is a solid investment for 8% every year. Last year, it did 25%. Obviously, with COVID, it dropped down a lot. Right now is a great time to buy the SPY when you're thinking 5, 10 years out. But for a newbie, they should be buying the SPY every month or whatever they can afford.
So I got a question because I think that's dope. So for our listeners who, again, want to know what your credibility level is in stock market and investing, could you like give us some backstory of what makes you credible or what kind of success have you had in the stock market?
All right. So for myself, I've made $1,000 trades within one business day. I've made over $20,000 within two business days of me hopping in a trade. So I know how to make money in the stock market. And without just talking about my gains, I have about 170 people that I help guide make hundreds of dollars a week or thousands of dollars a week. Like last year in 2019, my biggest goal I've achieved was making people thousandaires. Like maybe they had thousands before they met me, but I definitely helped people make tens of thousands of dollars last year due to my chat room. And that was one of my biggest goals. Because I love employing people. I love helping people create another financial lane for themselves or just a whole different outlook about life or their goals and dreams that they want to reach in their lifetime.
And I could definitely have my own personal testimony. When he called out a play for Tilray,
yes.
I could have sworn I probably spent like $23 on his option. And when I came up one day later for like $280, I said, no, I have to learn this business.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It hooks you.
I was playing around with my mother like, Ma, I would just sell some drugs today.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's
100% profit.
No. Options is a game changer. And for the investors or potential investors listening, options is separate from you owning stocks. You're basically betting if a stock is going to move up or down. And you can make money based upon that movement. To break it down in layman's terms.
And I think that's crazy because when I first understood option trading or when I first understood stocks, I thought that the only way you make money in stocks is when stocks go up. But once someone introduced me to the concept of option trading, that you could actually make money when stocks go down, I was like, yo, this got to be illegal because how is this even possible?
It was the secret that they've been hiding from us for years, brother. They've been trading derivatives since the 80s. We are late to the party, but we're getting ours now. We're getting our fair share. That clean water tastes good.
Yeah, I was mind blown. So like when I understood that, I was like, yo, I got to share this and I got to learn more about it. So tell us a little bit more about this chat room, because I think I want people to know the value. Just like what KB said, he has a testimonial of him making a couple hundred dollars. I think one week, KB and I, we both looked at our Robinhood and we made over $1,300 in a week just from playing some of the plays that you were posting in this chat room. And I had to take a second and think about it. I was like, yo, I just made $1,300 and I didn't do anything. I didn't do any work other than just read, do some homework and make, you know, bet on companies going up and down. Like that's something that I think I want more people to experience. What kind of information could you give our listeners about the chat room and the value that you could potentially bring to them?
Well, they can follow Robinhood Killer 100 on Instagram. They can see the wins and losses for their own testimonials. My main goal is to keep you up to date with the hottest stocks, best dividend stocks, which are stocks that pay you annually just for owning the stock. But we'll get into that later. And we do weekly option calls that vary from day trades, swing trades, and leap calls. Again, I know this jargon you're not used to, but you'll learn as you go more in depth with the stock market. Basically, my chat room will help you create a steady stream of income.
How much does it cost to be in a chat room?
$10 a month. Wow. I'm competing with Planet Fitness.
And please don't be overwhelmed, because when you get in the chat, you think they speak in a different language, so all these different letters. But yes, as you get familiar with it, you start to understand. And even me personally, like, I was a little overwhelmed because it's like, it seemed like everybody was winning. And I'm like, I'm losing right now. How is everybody winning? And I had to really do my own research along with the plays you guys called, but also start reading more about the different discussions that you guys have in the chat.
Absolutely. And also, don't think that you could jump in this chat and just follow a play. Caleb, you have to give them a fair warning. You have to, when I call certain plays, you have to know how to read a chart a little bit and decide when you want to jump in that play and out of that play. The hardest part of option trading is getting out due to the fact that greed and fear will destroy you as an investor. You cannot be a scary investor. And you cannot be greedy. It is a really strategic sport. It is a mental sport. Everyone's not built for it. But it's a game changer if you're disciplined and you are wholeheartedly trying to figure out a source of income that you don't have to clock in or clock out or put physical activity into.
Yep. That's one thing that I definitely want people to understand is like stock is like what you just said, Alvin, it's another financial lane for anybody that wants to diversify how they make their money, because you can't have one stream of income going into 2020 or finish in 2020. I think being able to have multiple streams of income is the key to having long-term success. So one of the things that I want to do before we transition into the end, and I know I want to see what else KB want to add, is what's one thing you wish you known before you began your career in investing and being a barber?
So it was before I was a barber that I try to teach my barbers that work for me is the customer's always right. I told you early in the interview that eBay taught me a huge life lesson, and I had one customer that complained about the product I was selling to her, and I brushed her off. She wanted her money back, and I brushed her off through email. It was actually pretty rude, but again, I was a kid. I was in ninth grade. Basically, there's no refunds, and you just have to live with what you bought. And PayPal, eBay suspended me indefinitely. So from that lesson, I learned that the customer is always right. I'm an extremist with my barbers when it comes to that. The customer is always right. Always right. Now, when it comes to investing, what I told you about greed and fear, and also trying to jump into things you know nothing about. The reason, I think I also, I missed this when I spoke about the SPY earlier. The reason the SPY is such a good investment is you don't have to do no research coming into the game, but you still get to have a little skin into the game, your money, and getting that 8% due to other people's research, the top analysts in the world that put together 500 companies inside one fund. So you're already fully diversified by just owning the SPY. So I want to bring that back in because people didn't break down what the SPY is.
I think that's so important, you know, because as entrepreneurs, we got to understand you're going to learn as you continue to develop yourself, because who knows if you were nicer to that customer, you might have still been an eBay seller. Like,
well, you know, wait, I'm an entrepreneur. Like I said, we're going through COVID right now. You're going to see a lot of people quit. I find ways. I don't find problems. I find solutions. And that's what entrepreneurship's all about. Finding solutions. You're constantly solving problems with customers, to employees, to logistics, to accounting. It's never a day off when you're an entrepreneur, but it's worth it. You have to know who you are. You can't just say you want to be an entrepreneur because it's sexy. Perception doesn't accomplish goals. Substance does. You have to truly be it. Know who you really are and where you're going, and then you pursue your goal.
What'd you think about that, KB? He preaching, bro. I'm loving it.
Okay, let's make an offering. I got a question, because a lot of people feel like, you know, different newbie entrepreneurs that they have to be great at start, or, you know, it's challenging and a lot of setbacks. So I got to ask you, how long before you became good before you was actually zeking people? How long after that?
You know what? When I came up social media, MySpace was out, but Instagram wasn't out. That was in 2008. Or if Instagram was out, it wasn't as popular as it is today. And YouTube just began, I believe. But I had to get around. I had to sort out good barbers to get around to become better. Because if you're around trash barbers, you'll be trash. But nowadays, you can work around individuals who are not so good and study off of Instagram, off of YouTube, because people have tutorial videos. But when I first started, I had to get around good barbers, and that's why I went to Mr. Rooney's Barbershop, which was one of the most popular barbershops. Still to this day, the only national televised barbershop TV show. And I made sure I got around those individuals so I could become better and understand the business. A lot of people are fearful to work in the fade game due to our social media presence, what they perceive us to be. They see that it is definitely professional. It is strict in here, but you will become a better barber, a better investor, and a better person. But a lot of barbers are afraid to come into this environment because they want the laid back, no pressure, I do what I want type of feel. And that's good and great. I can almost promise you, you won't grow as much as my barbers do on a full scale life level, not just like barbering. Yeah. I teach my barbers many different things. I teach my barbers the spikes of goal setting, with career, financial goals, spiritual goals, physical goals, intellectual, family, social. And we have these conversations in my barbershop. When you come in, you don't just hear about the game that came on last night. You hear about stocks. You hear about life lessons. We listen to podcasts like Entrepreneurhood or Do Right, Do Good by Gene Alert. That's what we do here. We just try to build.
What I'm taking away from what you're saying is a lot more than being a barber working in the fade game. And it's very similar to my sales firm is when I hire new employees, I'm like, look, I'm going to teach you how to do sales, but I'm going to teach you everything else that comes with being a better individual. I'm going to teach you how to work on your time management. I'm going to teach you how to set goals. I'm going to teach you how to dress the part. And I think as an entrepreneur that hire employees, I could relate to that. And it's not easy. It's tough because you're in a phase or you're in an industry where you're molding people. And that's one of the toughest parts.
I definitely love that aspect of it. And even when it comes to me with training, my clients, my job is to make sure to get them in shape and make them achieve the goals that they want. But it's definitely more than that. You know, I have a lot of therapy sessions. We talk about finances as well. So it's always dope being a person of your craft, but being more than your craft. And I think that's why you, a perfect person to be on the show because you definitely represent that.
Thank you, brother. Entrepreneurhood is a great conversation. And from a great conversation, great actions start to happen. And with actions, things change. So you guys are doing a great thing.
We appreciate that. And I think that's one of the things that I'm noticing all three of us have in common is KB is in fitness and he knows he has to develop people. You know, he's not just a trainer because KB, he's coaching people on other elements other than fitness. I'm in sales. I'm teaching people other elements than sales. You're in the barbershop industry and that's what we're all doing. So to kind of bring us home, Alvin, what advice would you give someone who's listening, who wants to be an entrepreneur in your industry, whether it's they want to start a barbershop or whether they want to get into investing?
I would have to go back to the 10,000 hours. You have to be true to yourself. When you first read about investing or you study the barbering industry, if you are naturally taking a liking to it, you have to go wholeheartedly, no plan B, plan C, into the game, head first, and make it happen. That's it. That's the secret sauce to this entrepreneurship. It's about just making it happen. There's no plan B, plan C. You're solving problems. It's going to work if you constantly solve problems. I also wanted to bring in the fact that I surround myself with entrepreneurs. My wife is an entrepreneur. She owns her own business also. She has a skincare business. It's called Tendo Organics. And my friends and just everyone around me, because that's what I like to do. And that's what I want around me. And I constantly would love to learn and read books on entrepreneurship, finance, and mentorship. That's about it.
It's very important for our listeners to understand. So the biggest thing that I'm seeing what Alvin is saying is, one, you got to put in your 10,000 hours. And two, you got to surround yourself with like-minded people. So I'm loving that.
Oh, what keeps you motivated? Because now that you're achieving your goals and your dreams, no, you have a beautiful wife, you have a beautiful son. What do you see your growth in the next 10 years?
In the next 10 years, I always focused on my character, my honesty, my integrity. And for this decade, I want to spend a lot more time with family and friends because I dedicated a lot of hours to barbering and finance. So this decade is definitely about spending more time with family and friends and constantly try to achieve excellence. I want to be the best I can be. And I want to live a life full of faith and influence.
I want to build on that too, Alvin. So 10 years from now, when we go back to listening to this episode, where do you see yourself being in 10 years?
To answer your question simply, 10 years from now, a better father, which I feel like I'm a good father now, better husband. And also at the same time, I think the biggest goal I'm going to achieve is making a couple of millionaires in Robinhood Killer's chat room. That's my main goal, and it's going to happen.
Do we see a fake game part two in the future?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely. There's going to be 5 fade game barbershops within the next 12 years in the New York area only. But my biggest goal, like I told you, like finance is my second love, is Robinhood Killers 100. And if you check my post out, that was the first post I put up for January 1st, is that I'm going to make a millionaire or a couple millionaires this decade. That's my goal.
That's powerful. That's one of my goals. You know, one of my goals is I plan to be a millionaire in the next 3 years. I'm 26. And I've set a goal that when I'm 30, I'm going to hit the millionaire mark. So my goal is to learn as much as I can from the investment game and what I'm currently doing to hit that benchmark. Because you know what's unique about helping people hit goals is, Alvin, I'm sure you know this, is by you helping multiple people be a millionaire, you know in return, it's only right that you become a millionaire yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now that you have been on the show, what does entrepreneurhood mean to you?
I kind of answered that earlier. Entrepreneurhood is the beginning of a conversation, which is going to force actions to happen, which forces change for thousands or millions of people, depending on how big this show gets. And it should get extremely big due to the leaders on this show. Because you guys are doing the thing, man. And I'm really proud to see that. I think it's going to be a huge shift for our people on the way they think and the things that they do to achieve better success.
And that's the goal that KB and I, we set from day one. We started with a clear vision of where we want to get to. And now we're at a stage of we're opening up our platform for other entrepreneurs like yourself. And I highly encourage everyone who's listening to this episode to check out Robinhood Killers 100 on Instagram.
Yes. And also I wanted to add, in Robinhood Killers 100, I don't want you to think that I'm the only one calling shots and everyone's learning from me. We have a great community in there. We have some traders that, I mean, Caleb, he could tell you, people will be in the chat 4 a.m, 5 a.m, researching, trying to figure out the next hot stock for the day. And we have some people that trade with $100 in the group, and then we have people that trade with $250,000 in a group. Everyone can definitely learn and benefit from it.
Totally agree.
I also want to tell you to follow me on Instagram, Mr. Parker is Winning, or at the Fade Game. That's my barbershop. And I wanted to recommend 3 books. I always do that, whoever's around me. 3 books that I want you to read, especially if you want to become an entrepreneur. One book is called Do Right, Do Good by Gene Alert. If you want to do right by people, do good by people while being an entrepreneur, that's the book to get. That's the book to read. It's A Jungle in There by Stephen Schussler. He teaches you the grind of being an entrepreneur, failing and failing to overcome and being a multi-millionaire and owning numerous businesses, and you know, after growing up poor, he just never stopped. So It's A Jungle in There by Stephen Schussler. And the last one is what we talked about the most today. You have to get the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. He teaches you how to get mentors, how to build friendships that are going to help benefit you in your life. Because everyone has an excuse that I don't have the friends around me, I can't find the mentors. You have the friends right here. You have the mentor right here. You have the Entrepreneurhood Podcast. You could spend a episode a week or episode a day with Caleb or Later Businessman. That's the way to go.
To bring it home, listeners, I want everyone to understand, man, being an entrepreneur comes in many forms. You could come in the form of being a fitness trainer. It could come in the form of doing sales, and or it could come in the form of running a barbershop and investing. Entrepreneurship has many lanes, and we know we can set everyone up to win. We're going to continue interviewing more people and creating a platform for other entrepreneurs to share their story.
Anyone can start, but only champions finish. Now that you've completed this episode, you're ready to continue your journey by connecting directly with our hosts of Entrepreneurhood. Follow us on Instagram at The Entrepreneurhood to stay updated with the community. For each episode, the first set of listeners to tag us on Instagram and leave a 5-star review will be entered into a drawing to get a free 1-on-1 coaching session on the topic of entrepreneurship with our hosts. Remember, there is no shame in struggling, because we fail, we grow, and we win. Right here on Entrepreneurhood.